Speaking of the recording on this, I believe you had a member of a rather large band who's been just tearing it up as far as recording and mastering things to work on this record. How did that come about, getting Mr. Donaldson on this?
He actually reamped the first album that we did in
Oh, nice.
2013. That's how we met him. And then he recorded, mixed, and mastered the second album. So it just kind of felt easy to just go, hey, do you want to do the third album type of thing? And yeah, of course, now it's you got to book way in advance there with him, whatever else. It's not like before. It's like, yeah, sure, let's do it next week, you know? Now it's like, okay, let's book it for next year, which is good, but it's just, time.
So you don't want to brag, but you were on the Christian Donaldson track way before everyone else, you know.
We did it in his own like the first reamping thing was done in his old studio, and then then was at the Grid, and then it became Christian Donaldson Recordings, I think it is now. So yeah, I didn't at his place, and it's great. You know what I mean? He's got an ear. He's got great ideas how to alter certain things or change certain things, and his ear is just great, and his production and his mixing is great. So
Let me switch topics a bit here,
yep.
because I just found out right as this interview is starting that you guys have a non-alcoholic beer. First off, I always find merch things to be super interesting that bands are doing. Did you approach the brewery? Did the brewery approach you? What's the story here?
Okay, well, let's go back to another member of Cryptopsy, Matt McGack. He deals with, of course, Vox and Hops there, whatever else. He deals a lot with Ganawake Brewing Company. So when we were doing our launch September 7th, of course, at Piranha Bar, I'll drop all these names because they're kind of good, and they help us out a lot. And so we said, hey, you know what? I've personally been sober for 20 years, and Rob doesn't also drink there in the band. So when we thought about it, we said, hey, it'd be cool to just make something a little bit different, maybe sell it there at the show. And because it's non-alcoholic, the bars can sell it. Like there's no problem with any
Permits and all that stuff, yeah.
permits and stuff and this and that because it's non-alcoholic. And yeah, so we came about doing it. We got in a talk with Ganawake Brewery. They were like, "Yeah, sure, great. We'll do it for you." You know what I mean? It's always good to do self promo in their local brewery and stuff. And yeah, so I designed the label, and away we went.
I mean, it looks very cool. People, if you haven't seen it, you should just bring up your browser now and look up Broken Brew, BRU with an U, umlaut on that U, or just regular? Yeah, of course, umlaut. What was I thinking? So, what a stupid question. Do you think that that's kind of a place where there hasn't been enough focus in the realm for metal? Because there are many people who, back when they were in their fighting prime, myself included, used to knock them back a bit, but they might miss what used to be there. And there really hasn't been many bands who have done something like this. Usually the realm that they've gone into has been coffee, I found.
Actually, I wanted to do a coffee too. I actually wanted to do a skateboard deck also too. I wanted to do whatever. I've never been the one to maybe do chili sauce because, man, when I eat chili, man, my ass goes on fire. So no, I don't want to do that, but that would be a great reel. You know what I mean? Here's my chili
There
sauce.
you
And
go.
next thing you know what I mean? I'm like there in the bathroom, screaming, recording for the next album. No, there's a lot of bands that have actually done beers and stuff and hard liquors and stuff. Like Metallica, when they did the show in Quebec City at the Videotron Center, they made their custom brew, and I think that's kind of where I first got the idea from way back when. Everyone was buying a case of beer and keeping it, storing it, and not drinking it, whatever else. So it's more of a souvenir collector's item. You buy one, you drink it, you buy another one, and you just sit it on your shelf, and it's like a collector's piece. We got to do something different because everyone makes t-shirts, everyone makes stickers. Like we actually have a beer bottle keychain opener, you know what I mean? We had custom earplugs for a while, stuff like just things like that, different things. Belt buckles, we made belt buckles. So those are different things, you know. And when you come to a merch table and you see those things, you're like, oh, cool, you know, more to look at. And these guys are a bit more serious about their merch. They're not just making a black and white t-shirt. Not that there's anything wrong with that. That's straight up pure metal.
Do you find that the unique merch things sell quicker or more readily than some of the more traditional stuff?
I think it's kind of an acquired taste. There's people looking for it, and there's people that are not. So you have to go the full board, you know? And then those acquired people, every time you make something new, they buy it. So you start to get a bunch of acquired people on your list, you know, and then all of a sudden, whenever you make something, you know, you're pretty much guaranteed a certain amount of sales, which also then looks cool because these people are either walking around with the stuff or whatever else. So then new people buy it. So it's kind of like build it and they will come while we make it and hope they buy, you know what I mean? Or they will buy type of thing.
CJLO 1690 AM, Born Broken has good merch ideas. You know who else has good merch ideas? CJLO 1690 AM, who's doing their funding drive right now. Oh, I nailed that transition. Did you see me nail that transition? Oh, it's almost like I planned it. But here's the thing. I didn't plan it because I never plan anything for this show. That's not true. I'm really underselling myself here a little bit. I did plan that this interview would happen. This interview with Mike from Born Broken, in fact. You got to hear a bunch of stuff in that, you know, about merch, about how got involved with, you know, the fine Donaldson Cryptopsy connection to make both mixing and the merch happen. Really, Cryptopsy is doing their best to put this city on the map. And you know what? I deeply appreciate them for that. I wish that I had that type of clout. Maybe I do. I guess I just will never know. If only there was some tangible way for me to know if I could get people to do something that I politely asked them to do. Oh, wait, hold on. Isn't CJLO's funding drive happening right now? Oh, you know what? It is. Gosh, I mean, yeah, it's crazy because if I was a person that was trying to show that I had anyone listening to this show and that cared about metal, I would tell you to go to cjlofundingdrive.com or cjlo.com/donate and tell them that Grade A Explosives is the reason that you're donating. That'd be crazy though, right? If I were to say something like that. I mean, who would even do that? Presumably the person listening to this right now. They would go to cjlo.com/donate or cjlofundingdrive.com and they would donate. You know, but that'd be crazy. You know, I don't want to get in too crazy here of my ideas, but maybe if you were thinking of another show, like maybe Ashes to Ashes, they do more pop stuff and I know they have a pretty big following, or perhaps the Go-Go Radio Magic show. That's also a show. They direct people to the site and, you know, I don't want to make you feel bad, but I'm behind them in the drawing of money to the station during funding drive, and kind of makes me feel a little sad if I'm being honest. Just a little sad. And you know, I know you, dear listener, don't want to make me feel sad, right? No, of course not. You don't want anyone to feel sad, especially me. I'm your friend. I complimented you on the good idea you had to go to cjlofundingdrive.com before. And now I'm just saying, you know, if maybe you could get another person to do that, or maybe go back and donate some more. I don't know. I'm just throwing ideas out there. Speaking of ideas, let's get back into this Born Broken interview. Oh, man. Did you see that? I nailed that transition again. I'm killing it today. Honestly, just killing it. I probably listening back to this, it's not going to sound as cohesive, but you know what? I think I'm doing a good job right now, and that's really all I care about. And I care about you going to cjlofundingdrive.com. But I mean, that's something entirely different. Have nothing I have any control over yet. So anyway, let's get back into this Born Broken interview. We just got done talking about merch ideas, Cryptopsy, mixing, all of these things. Let's get into some things about videos and the band being seen as art. Sound good? Sounds great. Again, if you miss any of this, go to cjlo.com. During this week, I'll post it up. Or, you know, if you want to be notified immediately, as soon as I put up a thing, then why don't you go to Grade A Explosives on the... this feels bad to say. Facebook. And you can go see it there. I really got to get on other social media platforms. I hate Meta's things entirely. Let's not get into that, though, right now. Let's get into this Born Broken interview. CJLO, 1690 AM. I'm Andrew. This is Grade A Explosives, and here is an interview.
I'm interested because there's been a lot of bands that have been telling me, I've gotten kind of a split about doing videos for things. There are some bands who are like, we have to have a video. It must be done. You can't have a record without one. But I've come across a lot of bands now who are saying things like, well, no, man, it's expensive to make a video, and it just is another way to split the audience so that they're more focused on the video than the album. Have you guys thought about doing one for something on this record, or is that off the table?
We actually have a video coming out for Am I Invisible. We're just waiting for the right outlet to take it on, type of thing. Asher's doing his due diligence now and trying to find the right place for it. And it's done. It's recorded. It's out there. And we spent just as much money on it as we did the album. They're almost there, whatever else, to make it as pro as possible. And it looks crazy.
And everybody, you heard it here first. I don't know whether actually this interview is going to air, so the video might be out. But if it's not, it's coming out soon.
Do I think that videos are important? Yeah, I do, because it shows the what the band's artistic outlook on things is. You know, what they actually think and feel and whatever else. And it gives you a look at how the band is, especially for people that can't see us because they're in Finland or Denmark or Mexico or Australia, or these are some of the places that our music's being picked up and played. So they get to at least be with us, you know what I mean, and see us and feel like they're part of us, you know what I mean? That, and I say you know what I mean a lot. That's something else I've got to stop doing. But
That's perfectly fine. Me listening to these interviews to edit them is a torture on myself, because I'm like, why do I say such stupid things all the time? Or why do I start a question only to interrupt myself and then go back to finish the question? I feel your pain. I feel it.
Yeah. So no, doing a video, I think is important. Doing a lyric video, it can work as a secondary thing, but I think every band should have at least one good video, and doesn't even matter if it's low pro or whatever else. It lets you into the mind of the artist, what their vision and look of what they feel that song should represent, or album cycle.
I know that you're very artistically driven, because I have been reading the interviews and I know you, so I'm aware of this. This maybe doesn't apply as much to Born Broken, but I've been asking a lot of bands who kind of do like a shtick usually with what they're doing about them as an art piece themselves. Like, for instance, like a band makes music. Music is art. We know that. The package they make, the artwork for the album, art. Putting on a show is a form of performance art. But then there's another layer that bands that, you know, do the whole like either makeup or whatever do, where they themselves as the band kind of become an art piece. I don't know. Do you guys think of yourselves as that? Is that something that you might fall into, or?
Well, I don't think we're gonna put face paint on and stuff there, whatever else.
Right.
That's just not our thing. But yeah, do I feel that we need to have a persona and a kind of show mentality? Yeah, because you're paying to come see us. You're not paying. For me personally, this is all my opinion, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think the guys in the band kind of feel the same way, so I'll speak for them too. When you're coming to see a Born Broken show, you're paying to see us play. So you're paying for us to put on a show for you, just like when you go to a movie or you go to a theater or see an act or a play or this or that. Well, you're coming to see a show and you're paying for it. And as much as we can just sit there and just play our music, it should be a show. You know what I mean? From start to finish, we get on stage, we do our thing. We're not going, hey, Johnny, how are you in the audience? You know what I mean? Clinking beers there, whatever else. We're on stage. We're doing the show for the crowd in front, you know? So, yeah, we do become a persona. We all like to dress in black, of course. No surprise there, whatever else. I always wear shorts. I always have. It's, you know, shorts, black tank top or shirt, whatever else. When we're just, we have this look. Like, I used to have this thing where all my bandmates, my past ones, would say, I can't talk to you 2 hours before you go on stage because you're like a Jekyll and Hyde. You turn into a real prick, you know? I'm like, well, no, I'm just always a prick. I just turn into more of a prick, you know?
I just amp up, yeah.
Yeah. I just amp it up. But then right as I get off stage, I'm like super humble at the fact that all these people in front of us have stayed and played, you know what I mean? And I'm so thankful. And it's just such a nice feeling, the fact that they came out to see us perform. To think about that, you know, I'm like, you know, this is crazy that these people actually took time out of their lives to actually come see us. And it's a very humbling experience. But while I'm on stage, I'm ramping it up. I go at it. My wife tells me sometimes I go too much at it. You know, she says, but that's whatever else. Once you're in it, you're in it. You know, you just go for it, right?
That's kind of the judge of success, I would think, if I was in a band. The ability to go up on stage and know that people have come because they've connected with something that I've put out in the world to go back. That must be like an amazing feeling to get back from any group of people at all.
It is. It is. It's super. It's super cool. And that's why I think my wife says I always go back to her because she's my sounding board, Nadia. She basically says all the time, you know what I mean? She's like, you do have success. You have done that, because there are people that have, they buy your albums. They do. They come to your shows. They do that. You know what I mean? So yeah, it is kind of cool. It's very cool.
if we're talking about live shows, it would be remiss of me not to say that, you know, you guys are going to be going on tour in Ontario and in Quebec here coming up in the very near future, you know, along with a show in October on the 26th, as I started off with, in Montreal at Fouf's. And if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, why haven't you? I told you you should already. Like, what's wrong with these people, Mike? Honestly, I don't know what they're doing.
It's actually funny because we always laugh at that. It's like, we're going on tour. And it's like, no, we're not. Well, we're playing like three shows in Ontario. Type, right? Not really a tour, right? It's the 401 trip, right? going down the 401. I don't know how many times I've done that over my years. But yeah, no, playing out of town, we find is the best judgment to see how well we are as a band. Because it's those people that give you their honest opinion of you. Playing local shows, everyone's like, oh, it's great, it's awesome, you know. But when you're out of town and you get people saying that don't even know that you're on the bill. Because half of these shows, you're mixed in either with a festival or with this or that. When they come up to you and they buy your merch and they're like, wow, that's great. That's really the cool feeling.
Do you have anything special planned for these? We'll call them dates. So it's that dude.
No. We're just going there, and we're gonna do our thing. You know, it's the new album release cycle. It's the show cycle time. You got to get it while it's hot. And the fact that these promoters from out of town have asked us to play these shows and stuff. You don't say no. You just go ahead and you do it. And the more the merrier. We have shows coming up in December too, November also. So it's just, we're just going at it and go as long as we can for the cycle. If someone asks me, do you want to play Regina in January? I'd have to think about that, but no. Or Winnipeg in February. Oh,
yeah. Outdoor Winnipeg Music Festival coming up.
Yeah. But again, you got to do it while you can. And now, while the album's fresh and it's still in everyone's minds and whatever else, now's the time when you got to play.
I was going to ask you where people can see you coming up here, but I guess you quasi-answer that. But the real answer is everybody go to Born Broken's social media and just follow them. And then you'll get serviced all of these announcements when they come out for November and December.
Yeah, you can actually find everything on our Linktree account now. It's Linktree-BornBroken. I think it's linktree.com/BornBroken. Yeah. So everything is there. All the interviews are there. We post all the interviews that go online, all the reviews, all of the new songs are there. Everything else, our Instagram link is there, YouTube link is there, whatever else. So that's more the place where you can see everything about us. The more you interact with us, the better it is too for us too, because it keeps us engaged, it keeps us going, and it makes us know that you guys actually are interested in us too, you know. And doesn't matter if it's good or bad comments, it's just cool the fact that you're interacting there with us, you know. So yeah,
all press is good press, I believe is what they say.
Yeah, it is, you know what I mean, especially for an unsigned act. It's just cool, you know. It's fun, it's banter back and forth, whatever else, you know. Like sometimes I get online with some of these, I'll call them fans, who have now become acquaintances over the years, you know what I mean. And we just sit back at 10 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, I get a bing, right? You know what I mean? A new message there, whatever else. I'm like, oh, okay. And I see it and I answer it and they're like, oh, cool, blah, blah, blah. And we chat for 20 minutes. It's cool, right?
And sometimes people that went to the first album premiere at Underground will be interviewing you later for a show that they have.
That was actually a very cool press release thing that like we did there. That was fun. Like we catered it, the whole thing. We always try and do something a little bit different for our album launches, right? It's like the first one we did it, we really didn't even go on stage. I think we only played like three songs, but we had the album playing in the background, we had it catered, we talked, blah blah blah, we explained what we're doing, whatever else. And I think for the second one, we did a like a Honolulu theme type of thing. We're all dressed up, and it was like mid-January.
Amazing.
And we all did it, and we are, you know, threw out like pink flamingos, like glow up pink flamingos, and we're all playing in like Hawaiian shirts or whatever else, because it was like January 25th or like minus 31 degrees, right? And so, and for this one, of course, we made the limited edition beer stuff, you know, stuff like that. And our first ever LP, we actually printed it, got an LP made, which is something I don't even own a record player, you know? And like, here I am making LPs because everyone wants LPs now, right?
It is crazy. that is like the staple at this point.
You can actually buy that online at loudtracks.com. If you go to loudtracks.com, that's loudtracks with an X. And you click Born Broken. That's our online merch store. And so you'll see all of our new merch there, whatever else. We're blasting out all the old merch from the last two album cycles. And we're going to add a whole bunch of new merch out there. So after our shows, all the merch that we have, because, of course, we're playing and stuff, so we bring all of our merch with us. So it's not in the online store at the time being, because, of course, we can't afford to have both, right?
Right.
Yeah. So as soon as we're off of our couple dates shows, we'll bring everything back and it'll be able to be sold online.